You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode 94, and today, do it for Durrett with John Daniels. John Daniels, the former Texas Rangers president of baseball operations and general manager, now a special advisor to the Tampa Bay Rays, is going to join us. A big part of Do It for Durrett. He sits on the board. He's going to join us today.
Yeah.
Along with Jake Dupree, a lot of you may know this.
Dupree.
Yeah. He's the kid that started this. He runs on Instagram at rangers.nation. I'm going to say .com a few times too. I know that. At rangers.nation. He runs that Instagram account. He's the one that started Section 133 and where they did the sellout out there. And
yeah, Corey's Corner.
Corey's Corner and all of that. He's going to join us for about 10 minutes before we get John on here. He's a big fan of the show and a great kid. And what he did, I thought, was just fantastic.
Pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. And I'm anxious to kind of hear more about that. I think there's even plans to do another one.
There
and
is.
We'll talk to him about that. But let's, before we get into the big league club and get Jake in here, and then we'll talk to John. Let's talk about Do It for Durrett, and exactly, this is a huge, it sits on my heart so well, and I'm not even part of the board.
Yeah.
Richard Durrett was a fantastic friend to all of y'all.
Yeah, he was, and he passed suddenly in June of 2014. Team was in Oakland, and he wasn't there, but he was getting ready to go to Anaheim. His family was in Anaheim at Disney World, and he was getting ready to go out there. Anyway, was jogging, which we always did, jogging to get his sister-in-law's car at the shop and drive it back to the house, and didn't make it back. Anyway, from that came a movement to help the family out, because Kelly, Richard's wife, two young kids, and she was pregnant, and so anyway, we had to Do It for Durrett at Billy Bob's, and raised a ton of money, $200,000, gave it all to the family. It was great. And from that, some of us were kind of inspired to keep it going. And we wanted to ask Kelly's permission. She's like, well, we don't want any more money. And so it became helping the community from families who were affected by the sudden loss of a parent like the Durretts were. And we're still running 9 years later, and our event is Friday at the Rangers Golf Club in Arlington. It's called the Do It for Durrett Doubleheader. It's golf followed by the dinner and the auction stuff, and you don't have to do both. You can do one or the other,
right?
But the money all goes to a great cause, helping area families who really are going through a tough time. And let me get the website out there. It's nextsteprecruitinggolf.com. We've partnered with Next Step Recruiting, which has held a charity golf tournament that has benefited Do It for Durrett the past 4 or 5 years. And we just combined forces this year. And The group there, led by Greg Denman, they've really taken off, and it's going to be a great event. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a hot, sweaty day. A lot of beers are going to be drank, and we're going to raise a lot of money.
Hey, let me say this from this perspective. I don't know the tragedy that Kelly or any person that deals with sudden loss goes through, but I went through a thing with my son, and I can tell you, just dealing with that,
yeah,
your brain goes to 8 million different locations, and somebody needs to step in and help. Because so if we had lost him, or if someone loses someone that quickly, yeah, whether it's the husband or the wife or whatever, this is near and dear to my heart, because I just probably realized 1/100th of what they go through, and I can tell you it's stress.
Yeah.
And so these families, to have someone step up and give them money to go take care of all your bills. We got your bills covered. You take care of your family.
Sure.
And I've seen these families the last 4 or 5 years, and it's just, it tears me up every time. It's just, it's so wonderful. And Kelly being a big part of it
with, yeah,
his kids, it's just amazing. What a great cause. And it's so unfortunate why this has even started. I think,
right,
we all know we would rather have Richard here. Yeah, yeah. I've heard such great stories about him. Only met him once, but it was basically as a fan. But, yeah, you know, it just seemed like one of the most unbelievable guys.
Yeah, yeah. Everything you heard about him is true. I only knew one person who didn't like him, and he's since gone to the afterlife, and it's probably not
friends with him.
He's not in the same place that Richard is. But anyway, you know, as always, we get a lot of auction items from the Rangers and
seen a lot
from around baseball, and the auction items are up right now at 32auctions.com/doitfordirt. I brought some last year. I didn't bring any this year because they're already
at the location.
They're already getting packaged up and everything, but I can tell you that, you know, we have signed baseballs from just about anybody who's in, everybody who's anybody. We have jerseys from Marcus Trips. Simeon, and we have Adolis Garcia from the throwback jersey from maybe 82. It's a pretty cool looking jersey. There's just all kinds of stuff, and that doesn't include the things that Next Step has brought into it. There's a trip to Turks and Caicos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that.
There's a cool Broken Bow cabin. So there are a lot of experiences that are out there that people are gonna want to get their hands on. So
playing golf with Mike Maddox.
Yeah, that's one of them. That's going to be at the live auction. Evan Grant has come through with Go Eat Barbecue with Evan. There's also going to be a situation where Ian Kinsler is going to be there, but also pizza from Kanye Rosso.
We can't say what our idea was. We're going to try to have it for next year, but I think that would be cool. And yeah, I think so. Rangers will probably get it together. But so we're not going to say anything about it, but there's just some cool ways to raise money and get fans involved. And I'm telling you, if you are a fan of the Texas Rangers and you don't want to play golf, buy a ticket to the dinner, come to it. A lot of Rangers former will be there. Now, no current ones. They're going to be out of town.
Yeah, they're going
to
be out of town.
So they're not going to be there, but you'll get to meet Emily Jones. You'll get to meet John Daniels will be there, who we're having on today.
Correct.
Jeff and I will be there. You'll see Evan. A few people that will be there that they stay in town to do this every year just because it's on their heart. It's one of the funnest things I do. I just so enjoy it. It's bittersweet. Because I know why the event's there, and I hate that's the reason it's there. But, man, for a Ranger fan, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And
and there's not just Ranger stuff. There's stuff from all over the league.
I mean,
Dirk has shoes that were signed last year.
It was a Luca.
Luca's shoes.
We don't have the Luca shoes this year, unfortunately.
But Ron Washington goes out and gets
Ron
stuff.
Ron Washington, he said he was dropping stuff in the mail Friday or Saturday. So we'll see what he has from the Braves and across the National League. So it's just good stuff, you know, and he, you know, a lot of it is going to be autographed balls this year. Yeah, the sense around the league is that the hitters don't want to part with their bats for some reason. I don't know if there's a wood shortage or what, but like we've got a Corey Seager signed helmet, and we got a Corey Seager signed pair of shoes. Just really good stuff, and it all goes to a good cause. So
yeah,
absolutely. Again, it's at Rangers Golf Club. There used to be Chester W. Ditto Golf Course. It's nothing like Ditto now. Holy cow. Friday, go to nextsteprecruitinggolf.com, and there's links to everything. Links how to register for the golf, how to register for the event, The auction website also has a link on there. So
and let me just say this. Yeah, if you are a scratch golfer, you can request that John Moore's on your team.
We're playing together.
We are?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Do we have our other pairing yet?
I don't know.
But if we don't and you're a scratch golfer, please say you want to play golf with Jeff and John.
Yeah.
We'll take you. All right. Listen, we got to talk about the big league team. Right. That's why we're here. This is a Texas Ranger podcast. You write for Rangers Today. I've got a little things I do too for Rangers Today, but you're not paying for me. You're paying for him. But we've got to talk about it. Hey, that's rangerstoday.com, $5.99 a month.
That's right. $5.99 a month.
Someone's already brought it up. There's no coverage in Tarrant County if you're a Tarrant County person. But hey, rangerstoday.com is $5.99, $60 for a year, $35 if you just want 6 months, which will carry you through the playoffs and into spring training.
Yeah.
But I would say just at least do $5.99 just on a month to month basis and see if you like it. You're gonna love the content. You're gonna love it's all Ranger content. That's all you need. And it's worth every penny.
Oh yeah, I if I were a Rangers fan and not the sports writer, and I saw this Rangers Today, I'd be like, I got to sign up for it because it's
absolutely
it's the podcast, which is free, but it's coverage that of the minor leagues that nobody else does.
Yeah,
and if you're a fan of the team, you want to know what's coming, you want to know what the future holds. We take care of that, but then we Then we also do the daily stuff and the daily newsletter and fun stuff. So it's totally worth it.
And there are people in the organization that are part of Rangers Today that subscribe. And then and other people that cover him that subscribe. I mean, they come to us, to you. I say us. It is not me. It's more him. Like on here where I steer the conversation. But they come for the content. Okay, this team is 72-51. I mean, it's hard to believe they lost three in a row and they're still 21 games over 500.
Yeah.
They've run into the bats have gone cold just a little bit. Look, they came back and almost won the other night.
But still.
It's Sunday, by the way, guys.
We're doing it on Sunday
because John Daniels was going to jump on. He's got to go to a conference, and he doesn't work for the Rangers, so he's got to go deal with his stuff. But he's going to jump on with us here in a little bit. But it's Sunday to get this out, and we wanted to get it out in plenty of time for Do It.
Yeah.
But 72, I mean, they're 72-51, and they're 5-5 in their last 10, and they've lost three. God, still a great team.
Yeah.
I think someone took it over with the run differential. It was the Braves. The Braves are
The Braves have
plus 213. The Rangers are at 189.
The Braves are the best team.
Yeah, right? Without a
doubt. They're very, very good. And but the Rangers are a top five team in the league. If you look at their
Baltimore's good.
If you look at their starting rotation right now, the Rangers have the best the Rangers starters have the best starters ERA in baseball.
Right.
They have the best starters ERA this month in baseball.
Right.
The offense leads the majors in a couple categories like hits and doubles. They lead the American League in just about every category. Just about everyone. Not all of them, but just about everyone, including like average and slugging percentage and runs and things like that.
Right.
So this team can hit, the team can pitch, but baseball teams just run into little stretches like this.
Sure.
And
I said it last week. They'd go through a stretch where they lose 4 out of 6 or 5 out of 7.
Yeah.
I said that.
And then teams get super hot, like the Mariners are right now, but the Mariners aren't going to sustain this. But anyway, it's probably a three-team race now in the West.
Mariners have made it into the play. They're a wild card team right now.
Right there. But this is meaningful baseball. This is something the Rangers haven't done in a long time. And it can be stressful. Fans are going to be looking at, if the Rangers are behind, they're going to be looking to see if the Astros and the Mariners are behind. It's going to be,
you're scoreboard watching now.
Yeah. You're going to get into a rut. You're going to get a little nervous, maybe. You're going to get frustrated, but don't worry about it. It's just the course of a season. The same things that happen in May happen in September.
Right.
It's just the timing stinks a little bit and makes you a little more nervous. But just keep in mind that this team's been in first place pretty much the whole season. All right. The lead got down to a half game. Astros still didn't get past them. This team's resilient. And they're good, and they can be better. I wrote in the Sunday read today. You know, three areas where I think can be better. You know, the rotation is going to get better because Eovaldi is getting healthy.
Yeah, this we got to talk about that.
He's going to throw a live batting practice in Arizona either Monday or Tuesday, and that's it. You know, after that, they'll decide if he should go on a rehab assignment in pitching games, or they might consider building him up in major league games and
doing like a piggyback.
Yeah, because they'll have enough. Look, when Eovaldi comes back, somebody's got to go to the bullpen.
And likely Haney.
You're thinking it's Haney. He's just hasn't been consistent, you know. And right. And the other candidate, I guess, would be Dane Dunning, just because that's where he started the year. But you can't move Dane Dunning to the bullpen.
Not right now.
And John Gray's pitching really well right now. So
Scherzer's been lights out since that first inning.
Yeah. So it would seem like Haney. You have Martin Perez down there, and Martin pitched okay Saturday, not great, but he hadn't pitched multiple innings in a while.
He did his job. He came in to eat some innings so they didn't have to extend the bullpen, kind of in a game where you thought, you know, I know what Bochy's plan was. I'm going to put Martin in there, see if we can chip back into this, and if we do, we'll go to our better bullpen arms.
Right.
But if not, he may just have to eat a couple of innings to see if we can.
Guys need rest.
Guys need rest, and let's see if our bats can get going to get back in it when they never really could get back into it. You let Martin eat the rest of it. That's just kind of how you play it. That serves a purpose. I don't care who you are.
Yeah,
every team needs one of those.
I mean, that's part of managing. You know, you got to make those decisions. But anyway, as it pertains to Eovaldi, there will be guys who can pitch multiple innings behind him and get the game to the back end guys.
Right.
So
Eovaldi, Haney,
there
you go.
I think that's one way to do it. I think that that's how they had done it or were planning to do with DeGrom. That's how they want. I think probably will end up doing it with Eovaldi. I think. Look, these guys just don't go. These big name guys just don't go on rehab assignments anymore. You know?
They don't need to if you can. If they need to pitch three innings, and you think, then let them pitch three innings in the big leagues.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and get those and get that adrenaline going and that juice going, and and even if they struggle a little bit for one outing, that's what you're doing. You know, that's guys capable of shutting down somebody for three innings.
Yeah, and you do kind of need to guard against the adrenaline and it ratcheting it up too soon, but. He's also his bullpen session. It's kind of been like a simulated game where he'll throw 15 pitches, sit down for 5 or 7 minutes, and then do it, and then do it, and then do it. So he's kind of he's stretched out a little bit, but I don't think they want to go back to like a spring training buildup where he would start two innings and 30 pitches and build up every week. I don't think they have time for that. They need to get him back. So I would think. It would be possible on this upcoming road trip. It's a long road trip. But if they do send him out on a rehab assignment, maybe when they get back to town September 1st, in that vicinity might be when he comes back off the injured list. But anyway, the rotations are going to get better.
Yes.
Theoretically. Because you're adding an all-star and subtracting a guy who's not an all-star.
Right.
And then, you know, could the bullpen be better? Of course it could be. You know, they've Bruce Bochy and Mike Maddux have constructed what appears to be their pattern for the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning with Josh Spores and Aroldis Chapman and Will Smith. You know, Spores has kind of hiccuped here the last couple starts. He gave up a 4-3 lead Friday night in what turned out to be a 9-8 loss. You know, and these are situations that Josh Spores has never been in. This will be his first playoff
run. Yeah,
run and his first time pitching in meaningful games. How's he going to handle it? You know what he's done so far has been surprisingly good.
Yep.
But when he's bad, he's bad.
Yes,
and you know you just got to know when that's coming. And so
there's Chris
Stratton who came with Jordan Montgomery in that Cardinals trade has been really really good.
Yes,
I could see that. If Josh were to continue to struggle, that is an easy way to fix that. Then you talk about the ninth inning. You know, Will Smith had that blown save in San Francisco. You know, closers aren't perfect. They're going to blow saves, all right?
They're in one closer in baseball that closed every opportunity.
Right. And
they have blown saves.
You know, the fact of the matter is that Aroldis Chapman sitting there with 317 career saves and 102 or 103 mile per hour fastball. will that play better in September and October when you need a power arm? I don't know. You know, Will Smith has the experience, recent experience. 2021, he was the Braves closer when they won the World Series. All right, so it's not like he doesn't know how to pitch. He doesn't throw with the same velocity. You know, he needs a little. His slider's his best pitch. If he's not throwing it for strikes, if it's not on, it becomes a problem. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas Chapman, he's always going to have that 101. He has a good slider. I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, it's set in stone. It's not set in stone because Bruce Bochy keeps saying, well, I might use Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning. But he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. And then the one other area I wrote about this today at RangersDay.com, $5.99 a month, $60 for the year. They're short a right-handed bat right now. You know, Josh Jung is hurt, and he's not going to be back for at least a month. Jonah Heim can't bat right-handed.
Right.
So, and opposing teams know this. I mean, they read the newspaper, too.
Hey, they
read Rangers Today,
Council
too.
Council did it, yeah.
And Craig Council did it yesterday. Had a left-hander come into the game specifically to face Jonah Heim, and the Rangers pinch hit for him. And it was Robbie Grossman, who really is the only right-handed bat on the bench. I mean, Austin Hedges bats right-handed, but Austin Hedges is hitting 160.
Right, exactly.
You really don't want Austin Hedges to bat. And so that left Josh Smith on the bench.
Left-handed?
Who bats left-handed. J.P. Martinez, who bats left-handed. Travis Jankowski hit for himself against left-handed. He ended up drawing a walk. That's great, but I don't know if that's the situation that you want. So what do you do? Okay, the Rangers just signed Josh Harrison to a minor league contract. He's an infielder. He can play the outfield. He hit a home run, a leadoff home run Saturday for Round Rock. It seems like that seems like a pretty easy remedy right there to get him up.
Davis Wenzel bats right-handed.
You know, there's Davis Wenzel who bats right-handed, Justin Foscue who bats right-handed, Blaine Krim who bats right-handed, Elio Hernandez who bats right-handed, and then there's Sandro Fabian who was a minor league free agent last year, came from the Giants organization. He is killing it right now in Round Rock, and he has worked his way into the picture. He's an outfielder. I don't know what if the Rangers would do that. You know, if they wanted a big right-handed bat that they really believe in, I really think it would be Foscue.
Yeah.
Just because he makes a lot of contact, doesn't strike out a lot. I know his numbers have kind of dipped here the last month. He's kind of been in a funk. You know, Wenzel has 23 home runs, maybe 24, but he's hitting 237.
Right. But that 237 comes on the heels of starting out at like 115.
Sure, sure.
For the first month.
So anyway, and then another name, Paul DeJong, I don't know how he says it, was just DFA'd by the Blue Jays, and he was with the Cardinals and was a hot ticket item at the trade deadline. Well, he goes to Toronto and goes 3-for-44 while filling in for Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette comes back, they DFA his ass. So I wouldn't be surprised if that name gets kicked around a little bit. Just, you know, you're always trying to improve your club.
When does he have to be here? By September 1st?
By September 1st. If you're in the organization, well, August 31st. If you're in the organization by 11:59 on the night of August 31st.
Even as a minor leaguer.
You become eligible for the postseason. So anybody in the organization at that point can play in the postseason. And you know, so that brings up a guy like Antoine Kelly, who's at Double-A Frisco, the left-hander who's throws hard, was in big league camp, could be a potential bullpen option. I mean, you've got guys. We'll talk about Matt Bush a little bit. Down in the bus leagues. But the fact of the matter is this team, while very good and 21 or 22 games above .500 and in first place all year, can still be better, and they're – are probably a couple things that they might be looking to address.
Yep, so, absolutely.
Anyway, but you know, since we've had our last show, J.P. Martinez. No, we had our show Monday. We talked about him.
Yeah,
he's
he had a fantastic weekend that opening weekend. He's cooled off a little bit. He looks good at the plate. He's fast out there on the bases.
Good outfielder.
He is a good outfielder, but he's not. He's not. You know, him and Duran. Well, not him and Duran. Duran has been in a little bit of a funk.
Yeah, Duran.
So is Adolis.
Adolis Garcia has been a little bit of a slump.
He's not playing today.
So, you know, they're – but, again,
this happens.
These things happen.
Exactly.
And so, but the veteran guys like Garcia, you expect to clean it up pretty quick. It's these younger guys you got to wonder about, the guys who are playing a full major league season for the first time, or guys who are in the major leagues for the first time and may not have the resources to get out of a funk so quickly. So,
And let's just put this to bed right now. Evan Carter's not going to come up to the big league team this year. I really thought he might. There might be a chance, but it's not going to happen right now. No. If they haven't moved him to AAA yet, they're not going to call him up from AA, I don't think. I think they'd want to get him to AAA first. But right now, there's enough left-handed bats on this team.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Foskey would be your guy to watch that might be – who's got to be put on the 40-man this offseason anyway, who's hitting well, although you said he's got a little bit of a slump.
He homered last night, though. So, but, you know,
so that's a guy who could come up, maybe even play a little first base.
Sure.
You've also got you know, Lowe, it's hard to keep Lowe out of the lineup because he is hitting pretty well.
Can't take him out. Yeah, Garver's been very, very good.
Can't take him out right now. So, Garver could play first, and you could give him each a half day off. Maybe Garver could play first one night, let Lowe DH.
Yeah.
But I think both those guys say when they're in the field, it's better for them.
Yeah. Well, and look, one name I didn't mention with the right-handed bat is Sam Huff, who could come up and become the third catcher if they wanted to do something with Hedges.
Yeah.
But anyway, there are possibilities and things that can be done. But again, good team. Don't panic.
Nope.
Long way to go.
Still got a long way to go. And maybe Josh Young gets back before the end. He's in the middle of this right now. But I think it's now time. You know what? Let's get the kid on here first. We'll get Jake on here first, and then we'll go to John Daniel.
Okay.
Right after this, guys. The guest segment is brought to you today by the Frisco Rough Riders. Jeff, what's going on at Frisco?
Well, you know, they're getting ready to head back out of town. They're going to go to Midland, play the Rockhounds, and then they're going to come back for the last week of August and for Labor Day weekend, and it is a big, big, big weekend. It's their 20th anniversary celebration, and then it starts on September 1st with the Chris Young and Josh Young, just spelled differently, dual bobblehead giveaway on the 2nd. That's a Saturday. They're going to have the 20th anniversary poster giveaway and an alumni autograph session. And I think Chris Davis is going to be at that, on Sunday the 3rd, your dream team card set giveaway. I don't know if you've been following Frisco on social media, but that was pretty cool. It's a pretty good team to see, a little pregame catch on the field. And then Labor Day, they have a game on Labor Day on the 4th, and, they'll have fireworks on the 1st, the 3rd and the 4th. So get out to Frisco, especially if you want to see some of the greats and celebrate all the good names that have gone through Frisco and are currently there. You know, we go over those names all the time. So MILB.com/Frisco and check them.
All right, guys, and joining us right now from McKinney, Texas, you know him as Jake Dupre. He's the guy that was on the game the other night that started Section 133. He also runs the Instagram account Rangers.nation, which is 51,000. Is that right?
It's up to 55 now.
It's up to 55,000 now. Jake, what's going on, buddy?
What's up? Just, you know, everything's been crazy lately. It's awesome that we started this movement.
Yeah, you've had a good week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been insane. Everything's been crazy, just moving so fast.
So you guys were out there for one of the Angels games. Corey, what do we call it? Corey's Corner. Is that what we're going to call it? Section 133.
Yeah, you know, that's the name we decided. But, you know, we might need to move sections because we have so many people that want to go. We might need to just take all of right field. So we might need to rename it a little soon.
Okay. Corey's outfield.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corey's right field or something like that. You know.
So, all right. So how did this whole thing start? I mean, you kind of gave Emily a quick rundown, but, go ahead and expand for us. You started this, what, 8 years ago?
Yeah, my Rangers Nation account on Instagram, I actually started 9 years ago when I was 11 years old. The whole Corey's Corner thing just started against the Angels. We were inspired by a big, like, fraternity, I think, that was out there 2 weeks before us.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a big group. I got a lot of media recognition. We're like, hey, like, I have a big following. I teamed up with a guy on TikTok named Caden Fouch. He has a big following. We were like, hey, like we could do this. We could get a bunch of people out here. So we just made up a post, told everybody to come on that day against the Angels. And the shot was 10 times better than we expected. And obviously y'all saw it. It was awesome. We were energetic all game, and it was just – it was great.
Yeah, the and the players are taking notice too. Yeah, we've talked to him about it. We talked to Bruce Bochy about it the next day, and they listen to your chants and they get a kick out of it, and so your loudness is definitely appreciated. But you're looking to do another one, all right? I mean, September 18th, is that what I saw?
Yes, September 18th is our set date for the next one. But ideally, we'd like to do one sooner, but just there's not enough tickets available. But September 18th, we've already sold out 133, 132, and we have a month till the date. So it's looking pretty good.
That's pretty awesome.
All right, we're going to be out there, and I'm going to run out. I'm going to get out in the middle of that. I'm going to make sure I'm at that game.
I'm going to
run out there and find Jake.
That's a lot of people. And you said there are more who want to do it? So how many do you think you'll have for that day? I mean, you've only been saying it for a couple of days here, and you've already got two sections sold out.
Yeah, we've been posting it for 2 days, and now we've sold 500 tickets. So, by the end of it, by the day, I think we'll probably have 1,000, maybe more. I mean, I can't put a number on it yet, but, we've been marketing for 2 days, and we've done 500. There's no telling how big this can get.
How are the Rangers involved? Are you getting a group discount or are people just paying full price?
Yeah, the Rangers got us a ticket discount. So they reserved all of section 133 and 132 for us. And I actually teamed up with some private sponsors. So we're getting free t-shirts for everybody in the section, free rally towels, free foam, cowboy hats. So we're all going to be in uniform. These are all private sponsors too that I've teamed up with.
That's pretty awesome.
That is incredible. I tell you what, we're going to get you a Rangers Nation hat. Is what
Rangers
we're
Today.
Rangers Today hat. That's right. We got a Rangers Today hat. We're going to get to you and make sure you have it. I might have it with me that night, but we for sure got to get you one of those. This is fantastic. He reached out to me a while back. I think you were kind of semi looking into you getting into media. Is that what you're wanting to do? And maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to get some media credentials so I can go on the field. I'd love to do some like on-field interviews and just expand my range of content. I've actually been in contact with the Rangers about that too, so that's in the works.
Well, if that happens, let us know. We'll make sure we're there. I'll find you, and I can, because your first time there, you kind of got to have somebody show you where all to go to make sure you go to the right spot. I remember Levi Weaver helped me out the first time, and Jeff and I got to know each other, so get you around. But good luck with that. I hope that works. You'd reached out to me, and I was kind of like, I don't really have the pool to do that. Jeff might, but I don't. So, but it sounds like you're really making some strides there, and that's fantastic. You know as well as me that I come at it from a Ranger fan perspective. Jeff's a reporter. He's a beat writer. He comes at it objectively, but you and me, Jake, we're on the same page, Bubba.
Oh yeah. It's all about the Rangers.
That's right.
All right. So what's your ultimate goal with Rangers Nation?
Well, I mean, obviously what we're doing with right field, like I want to make the stadium a madhouse. I want to make the stadium just like playoff atmosphere every single game of the year. I want everybody to be loud and rowdy and everything, but as far as myself, my personal goal, I'd love to work for the organization. I'd love to just somehow get my foot in the door with them. And whether I'm doing, like marketing or whatever, I just want to work for the organization because I love the Rangers.
All right.
So now you played a little college baseball. Where are you going to school? Are you going to school right now?
Yeah. Last year I went to University of Arkansas, Rich Mountain, and I played baseball. I'm not playing baseball anymore. I'm going to Collin College right now. Just for a semester, and then I plan on going to SMU next semester.
Okay.
Very All cool. Right. That's fantastic.
What was I going to ask? So you're a Rangers fan, so how jazzed up are you for this season?
Oh, I can't even put it into words. I mean, especially after the last, 3-4 seasons, I mean, this is amazing. It's been rough to be a fan, and now this year is just – I can't even put it to words.
Do you remember the World Series years?
I do. I was only, I guess, 8 and 9. Yeah. So I do remember. That's when I truly started loving the Rangers. Like, grew up a huge Josh Hamilton fan. He's still my favorite player to this day, but I do remember it.
What a talent.
That yes. Was, oh my gosh.
Those 5 years were pretty,
Jeff was there on the field doing all of that.
Yeah,
you got to experience it
was,
all.
he's one of a kind. There'll be another. Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, he was Mike Trout before Mike Trout.
Yes,
just for a very brief period, Josh Hamilton could do whatever he wanted on the baseball field.
Yeah,
and you know, he unfortunately he ran into walls, and
yep,
you know, he always had to battle his demons and everything like that. But Josh Hamilton, and especially in 2010, was just remarkable.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable how good he was, and you know, he could score from first on a double. I mean, he could turn on pitches that are 6 inches inside. One of the most, I was at the four homer game in Baltimore, which yeah. is like the best thing I've seen, I guess, on the beat. There was one game against the Red Sox and went to extra innings, and Daniel Bard was pitching, and he was a rookie. He was throwing hard. He was the next big thing for the Red Sox. And he threw a fastball to Hamilton that had to be 8 inches off the plate inside. And he turned on it, somehow got it right down the line for, I think it was the game winning double. But I mean, he did stuff that people don't do.
Yes.
And wish him well. I've been trying to get in contact with him. He's a good guy.
Yeah. He's kind of cut off from talking.
Well, I know he had that deal with his daughter and, it's been settled and everything. But anyway, I hope the Rangers welcome him back. And
yeah.
But anyway, that was my little Josh Hamilton soapbox moment there. But thanks for bringing that up, because you know, I'll talk about Josh Hamilton. You still see Josh Hamilton jerseys and stuff in the crowd.
Miss Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely miss him.
This is impressive. I gotta say, this is pretty impressive what you've done. Now, social media is you know, Jeff and I didn't grow up with social media. me especially at my age. So this whole, my kids are into the Instagram. I have an Instagram account. It actually has a few thousand followers, but most of them are bots, I think. I don't even
know. I've got like 600.
Yeah, I don't know how to promote it, but one day I had like 4,000 or 3,000 people, and I was like, what is this? A lot of them were good-looking girls, so I knew it had to be some kind of weird thing, so I don't know what it was. But that's great that you do that. Obviously, you can, you know, we'd love to work with you some too and get out some stuff for some content or anything we can, and hopefully you'll get with the Rangers and maybe get a job with them one day. We'll see you all the time out there. That'd be a blast.
Yeah, that's the goal. I have a meeting with them on Tuesday, so we'll see if we can work anything out.
Nice. Well, keep us posted.
Yeah, keep us posted. Yeah. That would be great. Jake, anything else? We'll get him on. So when's the date? September 18th.
Yes.
But you might try to do a new one, another one too, right?
Yeah, September 18th. If we can figure something out where we're able to somehow get some tickets, I don't know, before then, we'll probably do another one. But because that's a little far out. We want to do one before that, like keep the ball rolling. But that's the
18th. Who do they playing on the 18th?
The Red Sox.
Oh, okay.
Holy cow!
So we're gonna bust out some Sweet Caroline chants because the Yankees got so mad about our roll call.
did they really?
I heard you guys did it. They were pretty mad about that. So we want to make some Red Sox fans mad now.
I came to your defense to a couple of them. I was like, hey, you know what? We invented ballpark nachos. So if you're going to eat ballpark nachos at a Yankee game, you better be giving the Rangers credit. If you have a problem with the Rangers doing a roll call, give me a freaking break.
That was the
dumbest thing I'd ever seen. And dot races. If you're doing any kind of little race around the field, the dot race was invented by the Texas Rangers. So you got to, if you're doing hot dog races or anything, that all stemmed from the dot race.
Yeah.
So you know what? Give some credit where credit's due. So.
All right.
All right, Jake, hey, this is fantastic, buddy. I'm going to come out and see you the 18th. I'll make sure we're at the game and come out and see you out there in the field and hang out. I'm going to bring you a hat. But anything else?
No, just continued success with this little movement you got going. It's not little, it's big.
I'm pulling for you. I hope you get to SMU. I hope you get a job with the Rangers. And obviously you can bug us and we'll bug you all the time when you end up working for them.
Thank you all very much. Look forward to seeing you all out there.
Jake Dupre. He is the guy that started at Rangers.com on Instagram.
Rangers.nation.
At Rangers.nation. I don't know why
Instagram.
You got to forgive me. I'm old. At Rangers.nation on Instagram. Guys, go out and follow him. He's already got a big following now. We're going to get him some more. This is a fun, Jake. Hey, we'll see you out at the ball game.
Thank you, guys.
All right. John Daniels coming right up. All right, guys, and joining us right now is former Rangers president of baseball operations and general manager, now special advisor to the Tampa Bay Rays. It is John Daniels, and he is head of one of those that sits on the board of Do It for Durit. Big into that, and that's why we're having him on. John, what's going on, man?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Big week coming up.
It is. It is a big week. You know, I people keep asking me about this and everything. It's been 9 years since Richard passed. And I remember exactly where we were. We were in Oakland. You were on the trip. I don't remember a lot about that night. You Darvish pitched, which means the Rangers lost because the A's had his number.
Yeah.
And but that was it. That's it. But out of it has come this. We'd rather have Richard, but this is pretty special. And what does it mean to you to be able to be involved in this deal?
Yeah, well, you know, you asked that question. It takes me back to that night in Oakland also. And, you know, I've been pretty fortunate to that point. I really hadn't lost many, you know, peers and contemporaries and friends. And that just hit all of us the same way. It was, you know, it could have been any of us. This guy was in incredible shape and healthy and took care of himself and similar age kids to the rest of us and great family. And just remember thinking, man, like, you know, God forbid this happened to me. Like, you know, hopefully somebody would help my family out. And what an unbelievable, like, genuine and just organic effort that stemmed from that. You know, I remember Eric Nadell and Emily Jones and yourself and Anthony and the whole group, everybody just kind of instantly was like, we got to do something. And the organization was behind it. Obviously, Richard has such, you know, equity with everybody there and Wash and John Blake and everybody. And next thing you knew, we had that monster event, you know, that kind of just, it grew. And so, you know, it stemmed from like a desire to take care of, you know, a friend and colleague and one of our own. And then really from there, it was about, you know, kind of Kelly's spirit. That's kind of what I come back. Kelly, you know, Richard's wife, and, you know, fortunately they had made good decisions and they didn't need our help so much after that. And Kelly was like, well, don't do it for me again, but can we pay it forward? And can we take care of other people that are in the same spot? And man, that just, I know it hit all of us the same way. We're like, yeah, of course. What a what a smart thing to say and generous thing to say and do. And so it's been, you know, it's obviously it's a topic that, you know, there's a lot of like emotions and grief around it. Anytime somebody loses a family member and it's just so suddenly, but it's kind of become this cool little subculture, sub-community of the area here where, you know, people take care of each other. And it's just a little small way we can give back. It's nice.
Yeah. You know, we each have wives and kids and think the world of them, but I don't know anybody as strong as Kelly Durrett. I mean, I just can't, you know, think of what, you know, she has three kids. She was pregnant at the time, and God bless little Margot. She's had some medical issues of her own there right from the start. And Kelly's just, she's just a warrior. And,
I know. And working full time. And I mean, she just gets after it, huh? Makes the rest of us look pretty sad, huh?
Yeah. I mean, as busy as we think we are, come on, give me a break, you know?
Well, here's what I'll know about you. So I didn't know Richard. I met him one time as a fan out in Frisco, but you guys knew him and it just always came across as this unbelievable dude.
Yeah.
But I met Kelly at the golf tournament you and I played together. Okay. And that's when my son was going through the brain issue. He was having brain surgery. And Kelly heard about it. And that whole trip, she rode around a golf cart next to me, just talking to me about it. And I just fell in love with her. I just thought she was the neatest person. And we still, now every year since then, we see each other at the event. She comes up and hugs me and just going 9-0. Of course, her kids are getting big. Good Lord. He's going into high school.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be driving before too long. You know something about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Good Lord.
But anyway. Yeah. You know, and this year we're getting help from Next Step Recruiting. They are pretty much running the whole show. I mean, Anthony and Emily have been pretty involved. I've done a little work trying to grab some stuff. I talked to Wash the other day, and he sent in stuff. And a conversation with Ron Washington is like the highlight of anybody's day. if you've done that, you've had a great day. And he was cleaning his apartment because his wife was getting ready to come. He's vacuuming and cleaning the bathrooms. And he said, I was vacuuming. I hurt my back. I need to lay down and take a nap. I mean, shit, he's 71. But anyway.
71 and has more energy than the rest of us combined.
Right. So this kind of you've been to all the events. Talk about what an event is like. I mean, it's kind of a, it's like you said, it's a community.
For Ranger fans, yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. So it's, listen, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of like riding all your coattails on this thing. I try to help a little bit, but you know, you and Emily and Anthony, and now obviously Greg and Next Step have taken it to a whole nother level. But it's, I mean, you've got, you know, a ton of Ranger folks, you know, from some of the organization, Eric Nadel, and then you know, typically we'll see some combination of you know, former Ranger greats, you know, Derek Holland or Darren Oliver, Colby Lewis, you know, Michael Young, these types of, you see these people there because they're all kind of pulling on the same end there. And so there's a little bit of like a nostalgia. I mean, last year, Jeff, you remember Mike Maddox was there. This is right after he left the Cardinals, yeah. Before he came back, you know, yeah. Before he came back. And so there's a little bit of kind of, you know, trading stories and nostalgia and obviously a lot of baseball talk. And then, you know, but it's just, it's a lot of like hardcore fans that have been with the organization for a long time. They know each other. It has become a community. And then, you know, obviously the highlight, or not obviously, but one of the highlights I think is when Kelly, you know, typically, you know, just off the cuff kind of shares her thoughts a little bit and pulls it all together while we're doing it.
Yeah, for sure. This year we're doing an event with the auction. We're also doing a golf tournament. I think there are a handful of spots still available. NextStepRecruitingGolf.com. It's where you can sign up, get all the information. It's called the Do It For Durant double header. So, you don't have to do both. You can do one, you can do the other, but, there's still some spots available. So,
who doesn't want to go play golf in 100?
Yeah,
8 degree
weather. It's gonna be real nice.
I'll be out there. I'm gonna lose weight. This, I figure I'll just lose it all at once.
Wow. Yeah, I'm gonna lose a lot of water weight. Yeah, it's all water weight though. It's gonna come right back on.
That's right.
That's all right though. So we're looking forward to seeing you out there. You're still pretty busy, right? I mean, you're not grinding it like you used to. But what are you doing with the Rays?
Yeah, I found a real happy medium between the you know, 1,000 mile an hour pace that I was going for a while and the you know, 0 mile an hour that sometimes is nice too. So what I'm doing with the Rays, first of all, their president of baseball ops, Eric Neander, and I have developed a really good relationship. I have a ton of respect for him. Think he's one of the best executives and one of the best, you know, humans in the game. And so we had traded notes over a period of time. We'd become friends, and then he reached out when I got let go. And I went in there last fall, met with them. You know, the role, the best way I would describe it is it's, you know, I'm in there for the trade deadline and things like that. And I get to weigh in at the winter meeting, et cetera, on potential acquisitions, but that's not the focus of the role. That's just kind of like, you know, keeps me engaged. I think the real focus is just some of the things that I've had the opportunity to learn and experience over my years with the Rangers. You know, just trying to help the Rays group maybe learn a little bit from that. And if they, you know, some of the times if I stubbed my toe or things I saw right or saw wrong, if the Rays group can learn from that a little bit, maybe avoid some of the same mistakes over time, or best practices, sharing those sort of things, ask questions maybe from a little bit of an outside perspective, trying to help from a staff development standpoint and kind of as they look to, you know, structure how they're set up, things that we've learned over time. So it's really more about that. It's kind of sharing my experiences and what I've learned. But there's certainly enough baseball piece that makes it fun and keeps me engaged. And, you know, I'm watching the Rays here at home every night, and
yeah,
a little bit of travel, but not too much. Get a lot of time with family. So that's been great.
Well, I would assume that you're learning something from them because they do it differently than just about anybody.
It's a great point, Jeff. I've learned a ton. It's been, I don't know what it's been now, 8, 9, 10 months, something like that, since I joined them. And I think they have, obviously, from an innovation standpoint and a research standpoint and kind of, you know, the opener and the shift and all these things that really like kind of started there and grew from there. There's no doubt there's a healthy piece of that. I knew that going in. I expected that, you know, the kind of the data analytics side, I expected that to be heavy. And it is that there's a, they've got a robust model and they, you know, they do a lot of cool stuff with it. But what I think people on the outside don't fully understand is that the culture there is really people driven, from the owner, Stu Sternberg, down throughout the organization. It's really about treating people well, hiring good people, developing your own. I mean, I'm one of the few that's been hired from outside, and they really invest in their people. They've got a great social conscience. They really, you know, contribute to the community. So there's a lot of like really admirable traits there, on top of the innovation. And you know, they've been to the playoffs four straight years with, you know, one of the lowest payrolls in the game, and they're doing something unique and something right. And so there's no doubt I've learned a lot, but it, the people piece is what's really made it enjoyable.
What do you think of the, we saw you out at the ballpark right after the All-Star break. What do you think of the 2023 Texas Rangers?
They're good, man. I was hoping that series, when I saw you there, it would go a little differently. they swept the Rays, but no, they're really good. You know, the position player club is deep. You know, I think after a year of kind of transition and getting their feet under them, getting comfortable, you've got, you know, Seager and Simeon are, you know, these kind of clutch, you know, clutch the wrong term, these anchors, these consistent, you know, productive anchors on this club. I mean, Seager's on the top, what, three or four hitters in the game, you know,
for sure.
He missed some time and he's still been among the most productive players out there. And it's been cool to see the other guys, you know, a lot of the other young players take a step. It's been cool to see the next, you know, when guys step up, when Seager went down, Duran goes off, when Heim goes down, Garver goes off. And then, they've done a tremendous job adding some, you know, top-notch starting pitching. You know, Eovaldi, his first half, and obviously Montgomery and Scherzer, huge acquisitions. So they're going to be tough, man. They can compete with anybody.
Do you take satisfaction in seeing this happening? Because a lot of what is taking place now kind of started under your watch.
I don't know if I'd say satisfaction. a lot of mixed emotions, for sure. I had lunch with CY a couple of days ago. We were talking about it. And, you know, I there's certainly an element. I'm rooting for so many people there, you know, yeah, both on field and off. And I mean, is it nice to know that, like, hey, like, we weren't crazy? You know, this group that we thought had promised to, you know, that was like the foundation of a good club, like, to see it actually starting to happen, like, that's been, yeah, it's been nice to know, all right, well, hey, maybe I'm not a total idiot, you know, that maybe it's still partial. I think my wife would say still definitely partial, but
mine too.
So that part's been good. But you know, it's weird. It's weird watching, and it's going to be super weird watching when they are spraying champagne and I'm sitting on my couch. You know, that'll be an emotional kind of unique thing to experience, but pulling for the group and happy they're doing well.
Yeah. Chris, you know, in the days after you were let go, was shocked and very gracious and what you did for him, yeah, and done for the team. And, but you guys there's no animosity there. I mean, you just said you had lunch with them. You guys are buds.
Yeah, we're friends. We have been, for a long time, ever since I was the dumbass that traded him to San Diego. we've stayed close, and I know, you know, have a great appreciation for what he's going through and grinding, and we talk. I mean, our wives still talk, and there's absolutely no animosity. He had nothing to do with it. In fact, I think, you know, we talked about it actually right before I got let go and after, and then still, like, I think, you know, both of us had this idea that, you know, maybe I would stay on and sort of like, maybe what I'm doing for the Rays, a similar, yeah, type of role for Texas. And it wasn't meant to be, but CY and I are in a good spot.
I mean, you got the job, what, in 2005?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a hell of a long run.
That's a long tenure. That's what, 17 years, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You make a lot of friends in the business, and you do the best you can. But 17 was a long time. You were thinking that this was going to be that was going to be it anyway.
Yeah, I was, and I had shared that with some people close to me and some friends, and yeah, I mean, just to tie it all back. I mean, when Richard passed, that was like one of the first times I was like super keenly aware of what I was missing at home. You know, I think I'd taken it for granted at that time. I had three young kids. My youngest was three. My oldest was seven at the time. And that was one of the first times I was like, whoa, like maybe I shouldn't take this for granted. Now I, you know, continued on for another 7-8 years, but I became more and more aware of what I was missing over the years. And, you know, and the pandemic, we're all home a little bit more. You know, you kind of realize, hey, I kind of like this. I like these people. And shockingly enough, they still like me.
They're okay. And,
yeah. And so, you know, I wouldn't trade. I'm glad how it all played out. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But it was a long time on the good side. Experienced some amazing things, great relationship. It was a long time. And probably, you know, it was the right time, I think, to step away. How it happened, whatever. But
yeah,
the end result is kind of what I needed.
So are you driving the daddy chauffeur, driving the kids to school? I guess Lincoln's kind of working on driving himself to school. Yeah, or
talked about that. I saw him when he was in front of you. I was talking to your son for a sec. He's 16, right?
Yeah, he's driving.
I have one the same age. I wanted to know this. I've got two older kids.
Yeah.
So my youngest is his oldest age. So, okay. But John and I are going through the same point, both juniors in high school. They're driving themselves to school now. Were you the instructor? Did you teach him how to drive?
Yeah. Well, mostly because I thought it wasn't. Robin, my wife, said, you've got to do it, because he and her were going to, one of them was going to kill the other. Robin was, she's the most amazing mom, patient, loving, caring, but not a driver's ed teacher.
Absolutely. You and I are married to the exact same woman. My wife she never taught my older kids.
Okay.
And I didn't teach my older kids. They went to a little school.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to teach my younger one. And Kathy wanted to, and I said, you need to sit in the house and don't get in the car. Because you hit imaginary brakes. You do this every time you grab something. And it scares the kids to death.
Sure.
Yeah. My son was like, Dad, I can't do it with her in the car. And I'm like, I understand. I can't do it with her in the car sometimes. I know what you're talking about. So how did he do? Did you white knuckle a few times? It's usually hit the brake better.
Yeah. I mean, certainly, you know, the first few months were, even the first month or so after he had the license, but man, we got through it. Thankfully he's a good driver and he's doing well. And now he's, you know, off on his own. My middle child, Harper, she's 15, so she's got her permit. She's learning now too.
Oh wow!
I will say she's you know, no offense to Lincoln, he might be mad at me for saying, but I think Harper's starting at a little bit higher, like jumping off point. Like she's, I don't know if it's like, you know, driving a golf cart or something. She got some experience doing that, but she's pretty good. So still, you know, and Robin's gotten better too.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, Robin's gotten better too.
How about those insurance bills you're looking at? Good Lord.
That's it. But I tell you what, it's worth it. I had to finally let Kathy know, because Kathy would ride with him a couple of times and she kept saying he was ready to get his license. And I was like, I know it's driving you crazy, but he's going to learn more if we just let him go drive.
Sure.
We've got insurance. If he bumps somebody, we're not going to let him get on highways. Let him drive around, go to the store, go park. And that's when they really learn, when no mom and dad are in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of on their own then. And, yeah. But you just can't let them have too much freedom. You can't go get on a highway yet.
They got to see things for themselves.
That's it. It's exactly what it is. John and I have been through this. I'm telling you.
So my mom grew up on a ranch in Evergreen, Colorado, Conifer. Beautiful. So it was just dirt roads. Nobody was there. So that's where we kind of learned how to initially drive. So then, and it was stick shift too back then.
That's how I learned. Yeah.
So I don't know. I was 13, I think. I'd done that a couple of times. They were just letting me fart around. So my dad and I, we had like a Denver Nuggets mini season package or something. And so we went to a game. And you might find this hard to believe, but my dad got drunk.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And he's like, I can't drive. I was like, okay. And so he goes, all right, you're driving. I was 13.
There you go.
And we're basically in downtown Denver. All right. And we had to take the interstate to get home.
How'd you do?
I did great. But he was like, this is what you need to do. Just get on. And
let me just say, this is not recommended driver.
No, it's not.
John, but and I can ever since, adhere to that. We do not get drunk until.
And he made me when we got to the end of the street, our street. He's like, all right, get out. so he could drive up the street. So mom could see that he was driving. But that was my first driving experience. So I had it easy. I mean, the driver's test was no big deal. I had this thing aced.
Did you have to keep it a secret for mom?
Oh yeah, we kept it a secret.
I was about to say that's good. We grew up in a different time. My dad would have definitely done that if he'd have ever thought that he needed someone to drive in, but he always thought he could drive anyway back in those days.
No, I'll never forget it. Never forget it.
But you know, kids today can't drive a stick shift. I mean, your kids aren't learning on it, are they?
No.
If they were at a farm and someone was about to murder everyone, and the only way to get away was a stick shift car, everyone would die.
Yeah,
because they don't know what to do to get it to start.
I can drive a stick right now, baby.
I love them. I love them. I need to get them in one and teach them how to drive one, but they don't make those anymore, hardly.
All right. Well, we've gotten way off point here. The point is Friday, do it for Durrett.
Absolutely.
We're going to be there. John Daniels is going to be there. Again, it's nextsteprecruitinggolf.com if you want to check it out. And come on by.
That's it, John. You're
helping out a great cause.
Thanks for stopping by. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I know that you're rooting for you work for the Rays. You're pulling for them, but he is pulling for the Rangers a little bit. He's not going to pull for the Rangers against the Rays. He can't do that. Yeah, he can't do that. He's paying his bills. But it's always great to catch up with you, John. We'll see you Friday night. And of course, Do It for Durrett is a big part of your heart. I know that. And thanks to you and Jeff and that group for getting it started. I've enjoyed it. I love it. It's a great event for me, but I'm just a spectator doing it.
I appreciate it.
All right, guys, after this, we're going to go down in the bus leagues. That's John Daniels, the Tampa Bay Rays. John, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me. See you Friday.
All right.
All right, a big thanks to John Daniels and Jake Dupre, who came on with us right there, especially John for getting us for the Do It for Durrett. We're going to see him Friday night. It is time to go down in the bus leagues. So let's go down the bus leagues, talk about everything minor leagues. I have not taken the chance to look at ACL Rangers and seen exactly what's going on there.
Yeah, they're up and down like all these young teams are. You know, sometimes these teams are – you'll have one of these teams in one of these leagues just run away with it. And last year's Rangers team was really good. And
Arizona was, Complex League?
Yeah, in the Arizona Complex League and even the Dominican League too. And then you have the teams that are – that kind of waffle and
not about wins and losses level.
You like to win, you know, but it's about at bats and experience and you know, they have such massive rosters and so many players there that you just got to try to, you know, find something that works. But you know, there's still a lot of talent down there. And
Sebastian Walcott being the headliner that's playing for there.
Yeah. And so. And, you know, some draftees are down there. And so, anyway, draftees have started filtering throughout the system. So, anyway.
Okay, so let's go to Down East. That's your low A team. Same with the Dominican. There are a lot of international. They've got two teams there, just kind of middle of the pack. They're not really. But there's some fine young talent that's looked okay down there. Will. But let's go to Down East. That's the low A team. They're 23-21, 5-5 in their last 10. They've won a couple of games. Still down there, I think pitching's your headliner. Brock Porter had a good game the other night.
Yeah, and talked about Brock Porter. He's with Ross Fenstermaker the other day, and Ross is they're pleased as punch with Brock's season.
Everything he's done,
it's been steady. It's gone according to plan. I think he's pushed it over 60 innings now. He's kind of pegged between 80 and 100. He should get there without a problem. You know, they
had him on the development list, but that was more so that they could control innings.
Yeah, he's fine. And you know, he's throwing three innings. It seems like they're just building the foundation is what they say. And you know, the velocity has been 92-95. They expect that to kick up a little bit next year when he's more comfortable. So Brock Porter season's gone according to plan. Offensively, they have some of the non-drafted free agents who then the ninth rounder Quincy Scott is off to a great start. I think he had three hits Saturday. He's in over 400. He's a big guy. Got him out of Pomona College. I think he was the ninth round pick. I think So anyway, those are just some names, and you know, the as offensively challenged as Down East has been this year, and really it's the whole Carolina League. It's a pitching heavy, pitching friendly conference or league. It's when somebody has a good spurt like Scott has had, it stands out.
You got to bring it up. Yeah, in fact, if you look at Down East, look what Cam Colley did from Down East coming up to Hickory, where he's really played better and hit better.
Well, Abby Ortiz.
Oh, yeah. And 27 home runs.
Yosi Gallon also. So, anyway.
And I think that also has to do with your pitchers at the higher level start to have more control and start to bring the ball over the plate a little more.
But some of it's park effects. I mean, you know, they're – it's some of it's coastal. You're not, the ball doesn't travel.
Sure. A lot of humidity.
Hickory, there's more elevation. One other name, Anthony Gutierrez, since his wrist injury, he's been pretty good. The numbers may not show it.
That's a name.
But his OPS has been above average since he came back. So and again, these guys are like 18.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Hickory Crawdads, they are 31-15. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They've lost a few, three in a row right there. But that's a team that's going to make the playoffs. Down East has already made it from the first half.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about another team that's on the verge of making the playoffs too. But Hickory, of course, is where the Rangers' number two prospect and their number one draft pick.
He might be their number one prospect.
In some public.
Okay.
He hasn't passed Evan for me yet in the Rangers Today thing. Well, so we know how that goes. Not to say he can't.
Right.
Because he has been impressive, but Evan has done nothing to be dethroned. He has performed at his level, too. But
Langford. We have to say his name.
Yep. Yeah. Wyatt Langford, he's hitting .274. He's got 3 home runs. Still got over 1,000 OPS.
Yeah.
And that's a talented kid. We had him on here last week. What a great kid, too.
Yeah. I mean, I
I'll always remember fried turkey bits.
There you go.
Fried turkey chunks.
Yeah. His first taste of pro ball, he's doing fine. Don't read into it, good or bad. He's just doing good. And
don't think he's going to see Double A by the end of the year.
I don't think so.
Probably not. He'll probably start next year in Double A. But
you know, if they make the playoffs, you probably want him to get as many at bats as possible
with Hickory.
With Hickory, yeah. Abby Ortiz, good gravy, you know.
Yeah, he's got 27 home runs.
Yeah, and he's
going to be minor league player of the year.
You'd think so.
JC was probably on
JC Acuña, JP Martinez is in the conversation. He's probably not now, depending on how the season ends, but although, you know, Cole Reagans ended up being the pitcher of the year, even though he made his major league debut last year, but anyway, you look at Ortiz's numbers, and they just stand out. It's just unbelievable the numbers he has, and it's interesting, you know. And you know, you need every system needs a guy to do this, and you hope that it carries on and follows through, and he continues to have the success next year. What I would assume would be Frisco. I mean, he doesn't need to go back to Hickory. And
Great
stuff there.
And that was what was said about him after he was getting drafted. They kind of said this kid with some pop, good approach at the plate and all of that. But, he was taken later, right? He wasn't like in the 10th or 11th round, I think.
I don't even remember.
I can't even have to look it up.
That he has
done
real well.
He's burst onto it. Frisco is Double A, and everyone knows Frisco around here in the Metroplex. 23-21, they're 4-6 in their last 10. They've lost a couple in a row. This was the team that MILB said was the number one talented team coming into the season. That has been plucked and they pilfered.
Yeah.
Whether it goes to Triple A or been traded, they still have some talent there.
Sure.
One guy that's probably a little concerning, which I don't think is too concerning, but been some swing and miss out of Zavala lately. He hasn't just –
Yeah.
He came back from an injury, though, and
– Well, you know, I think that he's been, you know, been a guest twice, was a guest right when he came back. He is super laser dialed in and focused. I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself.
Yeah.
To do well, and I think in, I think it'd be beneficial to him if he went out and, I don't know, played around a golf or, you know, went and saw a movie or if he doesn't have a girlfriend, got a girlfriend, you know, something to make him realize there's a little more out there than baseball and it might trickle down. But there's some I don't want to say frustration, but he hasn't taken off like I think the Rangers thought he would, but they still see the talent and aren't yep. aren't concerned about it too much. They just say, you know, these guys all come at their own pace. But another guy at Frisco who I feel obligated to talk about is Jack Leiter, who on Wednesday yeah. was at Globe Life Field throwing live batting practice, and everybody in the front office was there except for Josh Boyd, that I could tell. And that includes Ian Kinsler was there, Michael Young was there, Kip Fagg was there. Of course, I believe Jordan Teagues, the minor league pitching coordinator, was there. Leiter was throwing live BP to Rangers hitters. And it was out there on the field for everybody to see. And we all saw it, but the Rangers didn't want to talk about it. And it's very peculiar. You know, this is the team's first-round pick, number 2 overall in 2021. He has struggled at Double A Frisco, and what they're doing is, I want to say, unprecedented, but it's really weird to take this guy and just remove him from competition. You know, you brought up Roy Halladay a few episodes ago about how the Blue Jays, when he was a rookie, he came up, had instant success, almost threw a no-hitter in his debut, then the next year was terrible, and they sent him all the way down to Class A.
Right.
It kind of feels the same, but whatever they're doing, you know, Leiter's healthy. Mike Maddox saw it. Bruce Bochy saw it. They saw good stuff. He was throwing strikes. It was the purpose of it was said to be that they were gathering, you know, biomechanical data and things like that. Whatever, you know, just talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, explain what's going on, where he's at. He should be back soon, I would think.
He's got to get out of his head. I still think that's part of it.
Well, I think he has a lot of people in his head.
That's what I mean.
And, you know, maybe he, you know, if he doesn't have a girlfriend, maybe he and Aaron Zavala need to go on a double blind date or something.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, clear your head and just do what you've been doing your I don't know, your whole life. These guys have been good their entire lives. Just get out there and do it. But anyway, he should be back pretty soon, I would think. And you know, now that he is, he's missed so much time, you know, does he go make up his innings in the fall league? Does he try to apply what he has learned here while on the developmental list?
Is it going back to Vandy?
I don't know. Kumar Rocker is on his way to Vandy.
Go through his rehab there?
Well, to take some classes, but also continue his rehab there. I think, you know, at a certain point on the rehab from Tommy John, you kind of hit a point where you can't do a whole hell of a lot. And it's you know, you're no throw, so it's just arm stuff and arm care and building up strength. And, you could probably do it at 24-hour fitness if he really wanted to. But
right.
I think that, he'll be supervised. They trust the Vanderbilt staff. And they'll be in and out. And they have scouts in the area and people who will be dropping by and making sure he's doing everything right.
Exactly. Yeah, if you're a player in that organization that Vandy invites back, they allow the major league teams people to come in and check it out too. They're not going to – you belong to them, actually. You belong to the big league team. But it's a pretty neat setup. It's a great recruiting tool. I mean, to have that and have big leaguers coming back every year. Absolutely. Walker Buehler hangs out there during the off season, and some amazing people. Now, Round Rock – now, another name, you know, Evan Carter – while still doing well, has kind of semi-cooled off a little bit here lately, and I heard some people pondering about, you know, his best friend and roommate just got moved to the Springfield and got traded. And
his best friend's his wife who lives with him. So,
yes, that's right.
So I think that Evan's just fine. And, you know, again, guys just go through
things
like
this. It's a long season. This is first really
– and his OPS is still like 860.
Right. This is his first – full season. I mean, I know he had a little bit off where
He got through last year okay. But I mean, this is
108 degree weather too.
Yeah, he got to keep a lot of things in mind. Just stop reading into it. God, you know, guys just go through little things.
Yep. All right, Round Rock.
Round Rock.
27-17.
They're smoking hot.
They are 10-0 in their last 10, but they've won 11 in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are just hot right now. And they're on. They look like they're heading towards a playoff spot, possibly. You know, they're ahead. Let's see, what's their
score? Yeah, while you're looking that up, it's pretty crazy because before this winning streak started, they had lost six straight at El Paso. And, you know, some of these were tough losses, you know, walk-offs and things like that. It's not like they're getting blown off the field.
Right.
And so anyway, but, yeah, they've been playing great. Another name there is Cole Wynn.
Oklahoma City's right behind them, two games behind.
Cole Wynn, who's been pitching really well in the bullpen, had another good outing behind Zach Kent, who's back and pitching. Cole is probably going to be starting again soon. He was never a reliever. You know, they challenged him to start throwing more strikes, to getting ahead of hitters, and then also some other little things that they sprinkled in along the way. And he's kind of checked all the boxes. He had one start where a pitch count got to him, and another start in Albuquerque, which everybody writes off because it's Albuquerque. So he's been well. They think he's in a better position to be an effective starter again. So look for him this last month. I think he's going to be in the rotation, finishing off the season there. You know, he's on the 40-man. So is Zach Kent. I'm not saying there are options for this year's team, but they need to, you know, this is Cole's second year on the 40-man. That's two option years. So they need to get him right so he can be an option for the big league team. And it looks like it's going the right way. The stuff has always been there. He's added a split changeup to go with his other changeup. So he's got all these different pitches. One thing that I've wondered about is the automatic and ball strikes. How is that affecting these guys? And I think it's having an effect. You know, not just Cole. I think Owen White is having some trouble with it. Danny Duffy, who's on rehab assignment, was at AAA and asked to be moved back to Frisco because they don't have the ABS there. And he thought that the ABS was not allowing him to get the work done he needed to get done because it's all based on a player's height. Every batter's different. You know, they stand in the box and they crouch.
Right.
So pitchers have a hard time knowing what the strike zone is. And right. Especially if the guys like to work at the top of the strike zone, they really have trouble knowing where the top of the strike zone is. So that's something else that I think the Rangers and teams around baseball are weighing. Like, is this guy's numbers really that bad? Are his walk totals that true? Would a human umpire be calling things differently? Would this hitter be swinging at those pitches if there was a human umpire, if there was two strikes, and if he had to protect the plate?
Right.
You know, so anyway, it's kind of interesting. It's a wrinkle that I hope, you know, I don't want automatic balls and strikes in the major leagues. I really don't. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be bad for the game. I think
it's just better. Look, your good umpires, even your good umpires, don't hit inside the strike zone on certain pitches, but they do it for both teams. Maybe they're calling a little bit outside on the outside, but if both teams are getting that call, that's fair. As far as I'm concerned, that's fair. If you're an inch outside the zone and he's calling that for both teams, then both teams' hitters have to adjust to that outside pitch. You get upset when you see it looks like they're missing more, and sometimes they're just flat out fooled by a pitcher.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate thing. I just think that, you know, and I think they rely on the catcher a lot mm-hmm. when the catcher catches the ball, because you'll see it happens frequently. A guy will set up inside. A catcher will set up inside. The pitcher will miss a spot. It'll go right over the heart of the plate.
And he's
but
full.
The catcher has to lunge for it or move his glove a long way, and so the umpire calls it a ball.
Yep.
You know, it's it's not perfect. Obviously, you know, there's the human element, as they call it, and the ABS would get those pitches, but I just think that
I don't want it. I don't want to see it there either. Yeah. I mean, we're going to be in wiffle ball territory then, where they're just throwing at the piece of wood back behind there, and if it hits it, it's a strike. Eventually, I want to see the human element back behind there. It's fun to bitch at umpires. That's part of the game. I'm seriously.
Well, it takes away the framing element, which is a legitimate thing that teams work on. The Rangers do as well or better than anybody. You know, and then, you know, so are you just going to have anybody could catch. I mean, I guess the stolen base thing is still a legitimate deal, but
right.
You know, I guess you would still have to block pitches. But I'm just saying, it the value of the catcher gets a little less too.
Absolutely. All right. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Yeah. We were. It's going to be a long one, but that's all right.
That's all right. But big. Hey guys, we're gonna harp on this one more time. Do it for Duritas this Friday. Go to the website,
nextsteprecruitinggolf.com.
Nextsteprecruitinggolf.com.
Right. And it has all the links to everything you need to know. There's still some golf spots available. There's still tickets available for the event. It's all happening at the Rangers Golf Club. If you haven't been out there since it opened, you're missing out. It's a real nice track. It is not. If you're thinking, if you're a longtime Arlington resident and you're thinking, oh, God, that's where Ditto used to be, it's nothing like Chester W. Ditto Golf Course.
Okay. All right? I used to play there.
Just trust me on that. You'll see it and you'll be like, there's maybe two holes that are somewhat similar. Okay. That's it. So get out there. Go to the website. Get out. Help a great cause. Do It For Dirt is a tremendous cause. I'm biased, obviously, because I'm on the board. But we help a lot of families that need the help.
And absolutely.
A lot of times don't have any place else to turn. So help us with Do It For Durrett. Help us with rangerstoday.com. It's $5.99 a month or $60 for a year. It's worth it.
Yep.
That's all I got to say about that. And then go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've picked up a bunch.
Yeah, we have.
Max Scherzer helped with that. Wyatt Langford's helped a little bit with that, too. So
absolutely.
Go ahead and check all that stuff out. But good show.
Guys. We're back. Dropped the boy off at school. So got the tears out of the way. I'm back and got one more in high school who it's going to – Kat and I laugh about it. This is the closest we've come to being empty nesters because he's more quiet and more doing stuff. He does a lot of – he plays video games, plus he likes to do this stuff where he does – he's into architecture stuff. He's got a girlfriend now. I mean, he'll leave and we won't even realize he's left. It's going to be different. My other one was loud, but he's off at school. A lot of fun. Guys, this has been a great one. Don't forget that Do It For Durrett. Do It For Durrett. Hope to see you out there at the golf course this week or at the event after that. Rangers about to go on the road after today's game. Max Scherzer's pitching. And it looks like it's starting right now. I think they're just starting.
Let's turn on the TV.
Turn on the TV and we'll get to it. Guys, until next time, we will see you at the yard.